Hello and welcome to MNIT Talks. My name's Paul Harvey. I'm here today with Neil Brownlee, the head of business events at Visit Scotland. Welcome to the show, Neil.
Thank you, Paul. Great to see you. Great to have a chat.
Got you onto the show today to talk about sporting events and how sport and business events can join up, because you're involved with the UCI Cycling World Championships, which are taking place in August. And also Glasgow has been named the European Capital of Sport, the first city to hold the accolade twice, 20 years after first receiving it. Can you tell us what kind of all this sport means for the city and for Scotland as a whole, and specifically business events?
Certainly. Well, I mean, I'm the head of business events for Visit Scotland, so I'm very lucky to represent the wonderful country, but also a great selection of cities. And Glasgow certainly has its own credentials when it comes to sport. Sport is very much integral to the life of Glasgow, from community clubs and volunteers to the world-class facilities and the hosting of international events, second to none in terms of Scottish cities. And I think this is actually the second stint as European City of Sport. It really is celebrating over two decades of success the city has had. And that's based on the development and investment, including the vast contribution by coaches and volunteers. And that over that time, Glasgow has established its place amongst the world's top sporting cities. And I think key to that has been the investment of more than 200 million in world-class sporting venues, including the Emirates Arena, the Glasgow BMX Centre, and the refurbished Kelvin Hall, just across the road from the beautiful Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum. And I think it's important to note that Glasgow has hosted a series of world-class events at these outstanding venues. So just in the last 10 years, there's been the 2014 Commonwealth Games. There's been the 2015 World Gymnastics Championships at the SEC Hydro, the first ever European Championships in 2018 at the Emirates Arena. And of course, there were some UEFA Euro 2020 fixtures at Hampden Park. And these attracted thousands of top-level athletes and spectators from around the world in the process. So I think it's important to emphasize the credentials that Glasgow has built up over the last 10, 15 years. And I think the recognition is very, very appropriate as a European City of Sport.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right in the middle of it at the moment, aren't you? Because you're speaking to us from the Dakota Hotel, which is the headquarters of the UCI Cycling World Championships, which are taking place. You're right in the thick of it.
I am. I mean, I've been seconded from my day job for a couple of weeks just to keep an eye on some elements of the UCI Cycling World Championships. Just for your listeners to appreciate, the Cycling World Championships is the first time that all 13 disciplines of cycling, and I had to look them up as well, so don't worry.
I think I could get to three or four. But
yes. So it's 13 World Championships all taking place in Glasgow and across Scotland. And this has never been done before. And it is one of the sort of models that Glasgow and Scotland tends to promote, because as a smaller country, we do host a scale and breadth of major international sporting championships far above our size as a population would indicate. And a lot of that is about coming up with new models. So the Cycling Worlds that's taking place just now, as I said, 13 disciplines. So it's BMX, it's road race, it's track, it's downhill, it's mountain biking, it's everything. And my role is as VIP and protocol advisor, which is really just keeping an eye on some of the IOC members, the president himself of the UCI, who was recently appointed as the chair of the French Olympic Committee just a year before Paris 2024. And not to overlook the thousands of competitors, there's, I think, nearly 80 or 90 yellow jerseys to be won. There will be sporting royalty in Scotland from the 3rd of August until the 13th. And it's great to be part of it. And as you're listeners know, it's not quite my day job, but I'm really enjoying getting my teeth into it to understand the connections between sporting events like this and business events.
What connections are there then? Is there anything you've been surprised by? What have you been learning?
I think the evolution of the bidding process for the Cycling Worlds obviously takes took years and years. And it does, you know, these sporting championships do not come with small price tags. And it's far more than we might ever see spent on a Congress. But I think the connections between a sporting event and business events is that sport really raises awareness of the importance of health and well-being of any nation, not just Scotland or Glasgow, but any country on the planet, which is why they pursue the Olympics and all sorts of disciplines of different sports. I think it's because sport and cultural events, they help expose people to different cultures, breaking down barriers and creating, hopefully, a more inclusive society. And I am aware of many national federations coming in to Glasgow and Scotland for the Cycling Worlds. And it's not just the usual, you know, the Europeans, the Australians, the Canadians, the USA. It's a lot of African nations, a lot of emerging nations. And looking after these national federations, it is a tremendous eye-opener in terms of hosting these people, because don't forget there is a visa process at a UK level for sporting events, so it's not devolved, so everything has to come through UK government, and we've seen fast track visa processes, and I think the most obvious connection between sport and business events is the hospitality bit, and I do not mean the standing in hospitality enjoying the food and drink. I mean, the opportunity to bring teams and clients together to create bonds and relationships, very much as we discussed during the pandemic, that everyone kidded themselves that meeting online was an alternative to meeting face to face. But what the online meeting experience via Teams, Zooms, or any online platform could never replicate with any great confidence was the social environment, the networking, the serendipity of the coffee break, the friendships made in the bar and everywhere else. And I think sporting events, sporting events have that great element of bringing people together. You think, gosh, who am I going to meet in hospitality today? Whether it's business networking or old friends, and even more exciting, it's when it's a former sports star from decades earlier. To be in the presence of these people can be really inspiring. And I think Scotland itself is mad keen on sports. I didn't mention football, and certainly in the city like Glasgow, football is potentially the third religion or second religion. And rugby and sport brings people of all walks of life together in Scotland, but also to Scotland, working in every single sector. So, we go on about business events bringing the world's experts to convene in Scotland or Glasgow or anywhere. And they're by definition going to be one sector, one academic sector, maybe superstars in their own field. But I think in a hospitality suite, in a sporting setting, the range of sectors could be tremendous, and the potential for cross-fertilization of ideas and minds and people, slightly relaxed, shall we say. It's a perfect opportunity for serendipitous moments and for the sporting and cultural event world to truly bridge with the business events world, which I think you and I know, Paul, and most of our readers know, selling business events to stakeholders and government and others can be quite tricky. It's not as easy to wrap your arms around compared to, the possibility of up to 200 yellow jerseys, I've just been told. 200 yellow jerseys are up for grabs.
News just in.
Over the next fortnight. I mean, it's an extraordinary sight. So the footage of the cyclists going around Edinburgh and Glasgow and Stirling Castle and up in Fort William in the Highlands and Glen Tress in the Borders, it's really going to galvanize the country. And ultimately, of course, like a business event, there has to be a policy connection. And bluntly, I think the cycling world's, the idea is to get people on a bike. Everyone, get out there, get on a bike. The other connection with a sporting event and business events is the pushing of Scotland or presentation of Scotland as a life science hub or life science excellence. And it's the work conducted in our universities, research institutes, innovation centres that transforms people's lives across the world. And it's especially critical in making benefits of sport understood. And we see this with co-locations of sporting injury clinics or within universities or sports venues. And a lot of sports science, we've held ESCA, I think, in Glasgow a few years ago, European Sports Trauma, a typical business event title, but deadly serious stuff, you know, the study of sporting injuries. Let's go to the sporting city of Glasgow and talk about it. And it's not just the physical elements of sport, it's the mental health benefits or other issues around sport, positive or negative, psychological experiences, sociological experiences. And it's really getting to some quite deep philosophical questions, which can sound slightly, you know, out there. I think sometimes when we are in Visit Scotland, you know, our job is tourism. But as you and our listeners know, a lot of what we do in events is the tourism is the easy bit. The tourism is going to come out as a absolute certainty. The spend.
Absolutely.
It's the economic impact is a given. But we need to be moving on from counting the bed nights and the coffee cups. And it's about creating positive change in society, including being healthy. And that is the nub of our Journey to Change campaign, which is now 2 years old, believe it or not.
It kind of sounds like we're talking about legacy. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think legacy is a word. I'm not sure it's the best word. I think it means different things to different generations. You think of, you know, legacy systems means old and probably not supported.
Yeah.
And I think many, many big sporting tournaments around the world, they tend to have a massive, massive legacy document, perhaps too many targets. And to be honest, I think many of them are not really followed through or pursued. It seems to be almost a declaration in order to secure funding. And I think with the cycling worlds, it's very much keeping it simple of trying to encourage the population and people around the world to get on a bike, hence 13 disciplines. We don't all need to be tearing around or cycling from Edinburgh to Glasgow via Stirling on the 6th of August. You know, that's 270 kilometres. It's beyond me, it's beyond you.
It's kind of like, is it planting the seed of the idea rather than saying you can cycle the length of Scotland? It's like, oh, well, I can go and get on a bike.
Yes. Yeah, I think instead of legacy, it's more about future building or just nudging something forward. I think legacy is not a trusted expression anymore. I think it's about future building. It's making things better. It's nudging a problem forward, not completely to a solution. But I think that my colleagues in Visit Scotland Business Events, and certainly the work I do with PCMA, we truly believe that business events are catalysts for economic and social progress. And so if we have a global problem or a local problem or a national problem, it can be discussed in Scotland, you know, or any country in the world, and it advances that forward. And I think the intention of a cycling tournament is similar to that. Every single business event, by definition, has a policy connection. And I think sporting events can also align to the UN SDGs, which they've been doing in Scotland with our help. I'm not too modest to say that our sporting and cultural colleagues have picked up on our work and business events to say, gosh, we need to align. You know, we don't just want the bums and beds. We don't just want the coffees and breakfast being counted. What is the purpose of holding this event in Scotland and thus securing government funding?
I'm interested as well because we're speaking a few days before the start of the Cycling World Championships.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering how it compares. I mean, obviously, you're right in the heart of it. You've been working on it. You're going to be there during the tournament itself. I'm just wondering how it compares. What's the atmosphere like in the city at the moment? How are people looking forward to it compared to like a big business event?
Good question. I mean, Glasgow is renowned for having an excellent warm welcome for any business event delegate because they always have the taxi drivers teed up to know not only that there's a big conference in town, but the taxi drivers will know the name of the conference. And I think that's these little things make a huge, huge difference. And I think there's usually city branding for the very big congresses. The branding for the cycling is very prominent. It's the rainbow flag of the UCI. I think there's a few days for it to kick off, but one of the peculiarities of this tournament is that it's 13 across, you know, 5-6 sites. So we've yet to see if there will be a buzz around certain venues and, of course, on the massive road race routes. And it's the same for hospitality, but it's not like a one-off, you know, big football match at Hampden or a big rugby match at Murrayfield. There's an element, not, I wouldn't say it's an element of suck it and see, but it's definitely beginning to sex up a bit. You've got the branded fleet cars driving around, and that always adds a nice excitement to a city. So there's definitely a sense that something big is about to happen. I just wanted to end on, you know, just saying a couple of things, and this might be interesting to some of your listeners, is the, you know, I think I mentioned this consistent and sustained focus on developing Scotland's events infrastructure. And there are accolades that Scotland broadly wins, such as being the world's best golf destination. But also it's the venues, it's the iconic landscapes, as well as the infrastructure. And I think this will chime with a lot of your listeners. We mustn't be shy of the icons and the natural landscapes we have. You know, for example, up at some of the cycling, we're using the Nevis Range, or Ben Nevis, which is the highest mountain in the UK. So there's a natural amphitheatre there, boasting some of the fastest and most exhilarating cycling races.
And then there's going to be some great photos, aren't there?
Some amazing footage, because the weather's going to be absolutely perfect. We know that. I must say, the weather in the UK the last 2 weeks, my gosh, you know, let's use it up now, because it's not been great anywhere the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got the indoor velodrome named after Sir Chris Hoy at the Emirates Arena. And in other sports, there are other award-winning links. So, yeah, the championship golf courses, St. Andrews and stuff. So, you know, it's not a bit of a punt, but it's just to remind any listeners that take your policy credentials, take your sectoral credentials, but absolutely milk and use any natural or, you know, cultural icons that you have, because they do work and they do matter.